Welcome, radio friends, to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, the teacher and preacher here on the Anchored in Jesus. And I would like to come to you with a special appeal. We are looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month to this ministry. God has blessed us over the years and has been faithful in providing for our airtime. But now we are coming to our listening audience and asking you to be a part of it. We would like for you to make a one-year commitment of $25 a month. If we could get 100 people, that would take care of the broadcast charges each month. Now, with that commitment, we also have a book that I want to share with you. The title of the book is one that I wrote. It's called 50 Ways to Resist the Devil, and it deals with spiritual warfare. As we look at our life today, we see as believers, we are in constant spiritual warfare. And so this book will help you to develop strategies for dealing with Satan and all of his forces as you go out into the world. 50 ways to resist the devil will be yours if you will commit to be a part of this ministry. We are calling those who commit to give $25 a month anchored partners. And so we want to invite you to be an anchored partner. Now, let me say this. As we have put this ministry together over the years, we have done it all with volunteer support. Those who handle the requests are volunteers. Those who prepare the programs are volunteers. And any funds that we receive, 100% of it goes to airtime. So you can be assured that your money will go to support the ongoing work here at the Anchored in Jesus radio ministry, and it will go to the airtime. So again, why don't you join us in becoming a anchored partner in giving $25 a month. There's a couple ways that you can do this. You can go to PayPal on our website, and that is www.anchoredinjesus.org, or you can make a checkout and send it to P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Or you can call the toll-free number and find out how you can become a monthly supporter of this ministry. The number is 877-831-5060. So we ask that you would be prayerful about how God would have you participate in this ministry. God bless you as you listen to the message today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, A Powerful Proclamation, A Personal Reflection. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of A Powerful Proclamation, A Personal Reflection.
A thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. So God gives, this powerful God who creates the heaven, who puts his glory in the earth, he gives man dominion over it. What is man that you are mindful of him? Who in the world is man that you have given him authority over your creation? And the problem now becomes is that Adam and Eve fall into sin. And that when they fall into sin, this glory and honor is now changed. It now becomes different. Because you see, man still maintains some degree of honor and glory, but not like it was in the beginning. You know, I often think about this. That man has an incredible, and I'm going to show you in a second, an incredible ability to reason and an incredible intellect. Now, but so does animals, right? You think, I look out sometimes outside my window in the spring, and the birds start building a nest. And it's amazing the ingenuity that the birds use in getting these twigs and getting them wet and molding them and shaping them and you know, just taking their time and building that nest, a place to hatch their babies. But then I thought about, man, how that he can build a skyscraper. You never see a bird building a skyscraper. Why? Because a bird can't figure it out. But man has figured it out. Now, even if the bird can figure it out, there's still some capabilities that he is limited in that he can't do it. But this awesome ability that God has given to man. Now, I'm going to show you something here in a second, because you might say, well, Pastor Glaze, because this was the thing, as I was reading Psalm 8, I thought to myself, now, Lord, how do we make this practical? You know, how do we make Psalm 8, you know, somebody, I heard one preacher said, you know, at the end of every sermon that he preaches, he says, so what? You know, we've read this passage, we've studied this verse, so what? So what? We've read Psalm 8, so what? Well, the so what comes in this. Since you are in Genesis chapter 1, and we've said here that God has given dominion to his creation over everything else. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image. Well, who is the us? Well, Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. See, this is this, in case you didn't know it, here goes the Trinity in the Old Testament, right there. The Trinity in the Old Testament. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. If you'll go to that next slide, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? That as you sit here today, God created you in his image so that you can rule his creation. But the problem is that man has fallen and is no longer able and worthy to rule the creation like he once did. And so when you look at it, what does it mean? I've always wondered this. I've had people preach, and I've heard it taught, you know, that we are created in the image of God. And I began, I said, I'm going to go study this thing because I really want to know, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? Well, it means that we have a spiritual image. That just like God is a spirit, you are a spirit. God placed his image upon you when he gave you a spirit. That your spirit, your soul, that's who you are. So we are in the image of God. It is a moral image. That God is holy, God is righteous. And when God made man in his image, do you think that God was trying to make a bunch of hellraisers? Do you think that God was trying to make a bunch of wicked and immoral people? When he said that he made man in his image, it was a moral image. It was an image that reflected a high moral character. And so he places within each and every one of us a ability to know the difference between right and wrong. It was a moral image. It was an intellectual image. That, again, none other of God's creation can reason the same way that man can reason. And so God creates us a little bit lower to rule over his creation. Now, let's not be like the Mormons and say that we are on our way to becoming God. We'll never be God. But we have the image of God, the Imago Dei, stamped all in us. That the image of God permeates us. It's an intellectual image. Notice here, it's an authoritative image. What did he do? The two scriptures that we've looked at, that God gave his authority to mankind. And then we see it's a social image. That God was a Trinity, and there was fellowship in the Trinity. That the reason God brought the woman into the life of the man is for fellowship. And so it was a social image. Now here's where the rubber meets the road. Because we can say, well, that's back there. But go to this next slide. And we see here that man has corrupted the image of God. That when God made us in the spiritual image, and the spiritual image of God in us has been marred by the fall. And that's why man now worships demons. Man gets into the occult. Instead of man having pride and humility, instead of man being humble, he now is pride. He now loves himself. And so we have corrupted the spiritual image of God. So I'm asking you the question today, that going back to Psalm 8, God gave you the authority. Why did he give you the authority? He gave you the authority because he created you in his image. What about the spiritual? Is the spiritual image of God corrupted in you? What about the moral? The moral nature has been marred by the fall. And so now, you know, we get into pornography, fornication, adultery, alcoholism, drug addiction, dealing with sexual identity issues, because the moral nature, the moral image of God has been corrupted. Do you realize that the image of God is stamped upon you? Do you realize that the image of God is meant to permeate your character? And the fact is that he said this more than once in the Bible, that you are created in his image. It's an intellectual image. This incredible ability to reason, to think things out, and to figure stuff out, that God created us like that. He put his image on us. And we've turned it into emotional issues. Instead of allowing it to be a mental strength, that the devil came in and we have allowed the devil to corrupt the intellectual image, the mental image that God has given us. We have allowed him to corrupt it in our lives. And so we have all kind of phobias and all kind of diseases, mental diseases, and people committing suicide and schizophrenia, anorexia. All these things are corruption of the mental image of God in your life. And then when you begin to look at our society around us and how our society has degenerated. Well, why has it degenerated? For one reason, because the image of God in their life has been corrupted. I know when I first came to Bethany and we were out in the streets and we were witnessing and we would talk to a lot of the young guys on the street and they had no regard for life. No regard for life. And many of them, as you talk to them, they didn't even expect to live past the age of 21, 22, 23. Not only did they not have respect for somebody else's life, they didn't have respect for their own life. But the Bible says, why would you strike out against another person? Because that person is made in the image of God. And if I realize that I'm a person that's made in the image of God, and you're a person that's made in the image of God, then I have respect for that. I have respect for that. And I think what happens a lot of times is that we just see so many individuals who have no fear of God. And when they have no fear of God, they have no fear of anybody else. That's why I would say if there's one thing that you can do, instill within the youth a healthy fear of God. A healthy fear of God. My one-year-old grandson, you know, he's been staying with us for the last week and a half. And every time before we get ready to eat, we pray. Now, when he first came, he wasn't praying. I'm just going to tell you like it is. But the last couple days, let's pray. All my grandkids know, when they come, and before we eat, whether we out in public or whether we somewhere, God got to get in there somewhere, and there has to be this idea of they're not going to catch it by accident. It's going to come because somebody is working to instill a fear of God in the life of an individual, because they are created in the image of God, but they're not going to recognize that unless somebody comes along and guides them and helps them to get to that point. Why did God give man authority over creation? He gave him authority because he was created in his image. Authoritative. The authoritative image of God has been marred by the fall. So man does what? Man and woman. They take their authority. And what do they begin to do? They begin to abuse the authority that they have by committing incest with children that are weaker than they are, by abusing sexually, physically, and emotionally those who might not be as strong as they are. They take the authority and corrupt it. You know, we were at a conference a couple of months ago, and June Hunt was one of the speakers, and she spoke about abuse. And one of the abuses that she talked about was spiritual abuse. And she talked about how that sometimes in the church, church leaders abuse the members by telling them certain things, that if you don't do this, God is going to judge you, that if you don't do that, God is going to bring condemnation down on you. And they take the spiritual authority that God has given them, and they lord it over people, and they try to abuse people. God has given us this authority, and we need to use it in a way that glorifies him. And then social. We see that God has given us a social image, that the social image of God has been marred, because now instead of fellowship and coming together in unity and union, there's now conflicts and divorce, and now we have all type of antisocial disorders. People don't want to be around other people. You know, you get on my last nerve. I don't have anything, you know, to do it, people. You know, people just burned out. Well, God was praying one time, and he said, pray for me. He said, I just have a problem with anybody who's not black. He said, I just have a problem with anybody who's not black. And he got out and started working in the community, in the inner city, and he came back next year to the prayer meeting, and he said, pray for me. He said, I got a problem with black people now. I'm just burned out. I'm burned out on everybody. Don't want to be around anybody. Right? God created us to be social beings. God created us to be social creatures. And we have corrupted it. Because now, even in the church, what do we do? Oh, come on, Pastor, don't go on here. Don't. You know, we got cliques, and you know, we got little groups, and us four, no more, and shut the door, and all that kind of stuff, right? So you know, even in the church, if we're not careful, that we can see the image of God being marred, that when I isolate myself, and I just, you know, again, I realize that, you know, we develop relationships that are closer and stronger than others. I realize that. God realizes that. But don't let that turn into a clique. You know, don't let it turn into something that's negative. And so we see here that we are created in the image of God. Now, Adam lost that in the fall. He lost that in the fall. So there's a certain part that the natural man will never get back. There's a part because of what Adam did, there's a certain part of the image of God that the natural man can never get back. But in Jesus Christ, when we accept Christ, and what was one of the things that Christ came to do? He came to save us from our sin. But when he saved us from our sin, that now we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which means that we have, once again, the image of God residing in us. And so all the authority, and that's why, you know, now we might not be able to, but, you know, if you look at it, what is it that man has not conquered? I mean, he's conquered all of creation. You look at it, you go to the zoo, right? You see lions and bears, right? And some of y'all were here, so y'all might have heard this before, about the guy who was looking for a job, right? And he went to the zoo. And he said, "You got any jobs here?" And the zookeeper said, the gorillas, we haven't been able to get any gorillas. He said, what we need you to do is put on this gorilla suit and just, be out there and act like a gorilla. So he put the gorilla suit on, and, first couple times he was a little timid, he just stood out there and went, that type of thing. And then day by day, he got a little more bolder, right? And so he started running up to the people and scaring them, all that kind of stuff, right? And he started getting on the swing like Tarzan, and he was swinging. And then, one day the rope broke, and he fell right in the lion's den. And the lion started coming to him, and the guy... He said, oh no, please, don't get somebody help me. And the lion was coming up, and the lion got close to him. He said, somebody help me. And the lion said, shut up, fool, before you guys both fire. So man has dominion over all of creation. Oh, he don't have to put on a monkey suit or a lion suit. He has dominion over all creation. And in Christ, things have been restored. Now, I'm going to go, the one thing that has been restored in Jesus Christ, we know for sure, is the spiritual image. That we have the imago Dei, the image of God, stamped on us through Jesus Christ. So we should walk in the spiritual image of God. And the rest of these, we should live in such a way that God is pleased with our life. And so the psalmist said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Waiting, focusing on what God is doing in us or for us. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, a powerful proclamation, a personal reflection, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request a powerful proclamation, a personal reflection. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request a powerful proclamation, a personal reflection, or call us at 877-831-5060. Today's teaching is part of a larger series of messages from the Book of Psalms. You can request the entire 24-part series from our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.